now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. A lot of these people that have all these abilities, who have celestial star ancestry, they're operating not only throughout this cosmos, but in higher planes, and they're working against the Draco Empire. Photonic energy and the cosmic rays will activate our higher centers. And it's incumbent upon us to ride that frequency wave. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Today, amongst a few different subjects, I will talk about the rising state of consciousness and the rising state of awareness amongst members of the military. I've had a series of interesting conversations with a friend of mine. He retired from British Special Forces some 20 years ago after having what I believe was a near-death experience, and he had a change of heart and he had kind of a change of attitude. He is a former Royal Marine Commando, started off in the Royal Navy, tried out for selection with the Royal Marine Commandos, was accepted, was trained in a variety of specialist skills with the Royal Marines. It should be understood that the intelligence services of the British Empire, MI6, also known as SIS, Secret Intelligence Service, colloquially MI6, SIS is known as the firm, is known as Six, have for many years now sent their covert intelligence operatives, covert paramilitary warfare experts, covert action experts within British intelligence, they've sent them to the Royal Marines for specialist training. And MI6 counterparts in the Commonwealth, in Canada, and the Australian Secret Intelligence Service, ASIS, they've likewise sent those that they've pegged to do covert paramilitary, they've likewise sent them to the British Royal Marines in places like Limestone to train in specialist skills. And my friend went through some of this training. He's worked and trained over the years with members of the British Special Boat Service, the elite Royal Navy Commando Special Operations Unit. I consider the SBS to be the elite of combat frogmen units. Many of the members of the SBS were formerly Royal Marines. And my friend had served all over the world, cross-trained with a number of different Special Forces units in the UK and in the US. And he mentioned to me this raising state of awareness, of consciousness, amongst people in the military. And I was really encouraged and heartened to hear about this. He mentioned to me that a friend of his, an RSM, a person who was a regimental sergeant major with the British Special Air Service, which is the highest non-commissioned rank you can get to in the British Army as a regimental sergeant major. And to be a regimental sergeant major in the SAS means that the soldier is one of the elite of the elite. And this guy, who my friend has known for many years, has left the SAS and he's become very spiritual. And I asked him, "You mean he left and he got religion?" Because that used to happen to people in the old days. They leave the forces and get religion. He goes, "No, he's not religious. he's spiritual and he has decided to leave that life. He doesn't want to do that anymore. He told me about a meeting he had with a lady whose husband was a wing commander in the Royal Air Force, a wing commander for the British Tornado ground attack aircraft. And likewise, this woman told my friend that her husband, who was the wing commander of a tornado, a British tornado unit, he left. And these are just two examples. There's been many, many more that my friend knows of. And like I said, he's known people in the British SAS, SBS. We've had many interesting conversations, in the time that I've known him. He feels the same thing has been happening with the U.S. military. Not only are people leaving the British Special Forces and the British military in general, is what my friend said. He said that the British Special Forces, the SAS, the SBS, etc. You can also count probably the Pathfinders within the British Parachute Regiment, etc. They're having a difficult time finding recruits for selection into those elite units. There used to be a time when the British Army and the Royal Navy would have no shortage of people, applicants who would want to try out for these special forces, special ops elite units, go through selection. And apparently, according to my friend, and he's in a position to know such things, he says they're even having problems finding enough people to go through selection for these various units. He even mentioned that the Gurkhas are Nepalese from Nepal, who've joined the British Army and joined one of the so-called Gurkha regiments. Every year, for many years, there would be thousands of Nepalis who would try to sign up to be just one of a couple of hundred or so Nepalis who would be given the opportunity to pass through selection and, if successful, join one of the Gurkha regiments in the British Army. And my friend is saying, now, there's not even as many Nepalis trying to join the Gurkhas. And in the old days, like I said, there would be thousands and thousands of Nepalis for a variety of reasons, because Nepal has historically for some time now been a very poor country. But the Nepalis make great natural soldiers. They're very hardy, they're very tough, well-disciplined, and very trainable. It's a point of pride in Nepali families for many years for their sons to go off to be a Gurkha. But according to my friend, now there's not even as many Nepalis that are wanting to join the Gurkha regiments of the British Army. And my friend went on to say that if it were not for foreigners joining the British military, like Fijians and the like, they'd really be having a recruitment issue. So not only is there a problem with retaining these individuals who already have specialist skills, already have special operations experience, training, but just getting recruits to fill the ranks is becoming problematic for the British military. Now, I knew that there was such a trend going on in the U.S. Army at least as far back as the early 90s. Many of the old hands in the U.S. Army Special Forces, the so-called Green Berets, they don't call themselves Green Berets, but, because of the novel by Robin Moore and the silly movie with John Wayne, based on Robin Moore's novel, the name Green Beret stuck, right? Which doesn't make sense because the British Royal Marine Commandos, who, in my opinion, are your average Royal Marine Commando is better than your average U.S. Force Recon Marine. That's how good the Royal Marines are. And like I said, intelligence agencies throughout the British Commonwealth routinely send their covert paramilitary operatives to the Royal Marines for training in specialist skills. That's how good they are. Point of relevance is that the Royal Marines also wear a Green Beret. So, you know, so who's a Green Beret? The Army, U.S. Army Special Forces, or the, you know, British Royal Marines? Anyway, tangential issue. The U.S. Army Special Forces also experienced a similar lack of retention. There were many people in the early 1990s in U.S. Army Special Forces, so-called Green Berets, who decided to retire and get out. And they expressed misgivings at the time about Delta Force, because it seemed to them, and these guys were in a position to know, that Delta Force was turning increasingly towards, at the time, this is in the early years of the Clinton administration, Bill, right, Clinton, it seemed obvious to these Army Special Forces veterans that Delta Force was being groomed for internal security. So there were some old-timers even in Delta Force who saw the writing on the wall, and they were getting out. For a while, Delta Force recruited amongst not only the regular Army and the regular infantry units, but also amongst the Army Rangers and Army Airborne. Then, because they needed to fill their ranks because of the increased expected op tempo increase, they began looking for recruits amongst their sister services, in particular the Naval Service and the Naval Service's Marines. So around the early 1990s, more and more, early mid-1990s, Delta Force began seeking recruits from the U.S. Marines, because they were having problems, you know, finding recruits, qualified recruits in the Army. So as far back as the early mid-90s, there were people in U.S. Army Special Forces that saw the writing on the wall, and they began resigning. These are officers with commissions, and those senior non-coms who had the means to retire, whose enlistments, whose terms were up. And I see all this as a good development. It means that those people with all these specialist skills who don't like the direction that the military has been going for some time, they're getting out. They're getting while the getting's good. Now, for some time, a lot of people would leave the military, they'd get their specialist skills, whether it's from the SAS or the SBS or the Foreign Legion, whatever the case may be, and they'd wind up in these privatized military corporations, PMCs. They paid a lot more, these professional mercenary outfits. They paid a lot more, and so, you know, from their standpoint, why wouldn't they leave the regular Army or the British Army or whatever if they were going to get paid more? But I believe my friend is absolutely right. There's an absolute shift in consciousness. There's a shift in awareness. People aren't even joining the privatized military corporations the way you'd expect. Syria really was a turning point. The trend, like I pointed out earlier, had been going on for some time, where Army Special Forces just, you know, especially in the wake of Waco, especially in the wake of, you know, Ruby Ridge and other such events, it caused a lot of soul-searching in people in the Army and the military, right? And when things were being geared up for what seemed to be a domestic role. Very interesting. And it lends credence to the notion that, well, this is why the U.S. military and the British Army and the British military are bringing in all these foreigners, bringing in people who are not native Britons, not native Americans, or at least born in the USA type Americans, right? They're looking for people from increasingly south of the border, right? The Latin American countries, Mexico, et cetera, to fill the ranks. And, of course, you have the whole concept of United Nations troops. United Nations troops have been endlessly training in the U.S. and elsewhere throughout the world, cross-training with U.S. National Guard and U.S. Reserve troops and regular troops. And they were doing this for a long time before this so-called War on Terror. Under Bill Clinton, Clinton signed off on the Bridges to America program, and all these particularly former Warsaw Pact countries, suddenly they became part of NATO, and suddenly U.S. military and U.S. National Guard troops are training with all these troops from the former Warsaw Pact countries, the Baltic nations, the Poles, etc., etc., etc. It's like amalgamation time. Syria really made a difference because one has to be living under a rock, just completely excluded from any contact with the outside world, to not have an idea what's going on in Syria. I mean, clearly, ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, whatever the hell they want to call it, Al-Qaeda, is being armed, trained, financed, and led by the West. And so people in the forces, in the military, they're tired of chasing after their own tails. They saw a lot of this in Iraq, too, where Pentagon Black Ops had deliberately incited a civil war between the Sunnis and the Shia. Always remember that the car bomb was a British invention. The British taught the controlled elements of the IRA what we now know as the car bomb. Colin Gubbins, of the Special Operations Executive, he did a lot of dirty work in Northern Ireland before World War II. The British military and British intelligence basically taught the IRA, elements of the IRA that they were able to infiltrate, disrupt from within, control, taught them the car bomb. So when you start hearing about Muslims and Arabs and people in the Persian Gulf and Muslim countries using car bombs, whoa, wait a minute, right? Where did this idea come from in the first place? First of all, the whole concept of a suicide bomber is completely 180 degrees opposite of what a real practicing Muslim would believe in. This whole concept of suicide bombers, it's just another made-up concept, made up by Western intelligence. And that's largely how they started this civil war in Iraq, setting off car bombs, setting off charges all over the place. The special police commandos within the Iraqi Ministry of the Interior, under the guidance of Black Ops, went around just, you know, in old-fashioned death squad mode. It's going around just wiping people out. Men, women, and children, policemen, didn't matter. Teachers. We saw the same thing in the Latin American countries, Operation Condor, where all under the guise of fighting communism, these Latin American countries, a number of them, at the behest of the CIA, just went around wiping out intelligentsia, teachers, trade unionists, poets. Oh yeah, real revolutionaries, real dissidents, real disruptors of society. Oh, they went after the intelligentsia. And of course they went after the campesinos, the peasants too. Because for many years, foreign aid to these Latin American countries was contingent upon the host countries accepting counterinsurgency advisors, so-called, and military weaponry, military aid. So if they wanted to get foreign loans, if the oligarchy wanted to sign off on these big infrastructure projects, which only benefited the big corporations, Bechtel and the like, at the expense of the native inhabitants of those countries. You can read all about it in Perkins' books, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and I think he wrote a sequel about that. He goes into detail about this whole concept. Point of relevance is, this military aid and these counterinsurgency advisors were part of the package. Indeed, even guillotines were provided to some of these countries as part of their foreign aid package. And they had to accept them. And then if the host country said, well, wait a minute, we don't need these counterinsurgency advisors because we don't have an insurgency. We don't have insurgents. Well, that's a detail. They'll make insurgents. They'll create insurgents. All else fails, the campesinos, the peasants living on lands coveted by the transnational corporations, they're the insurgents, right? And so it's what they call the Salvador option that was brought to Iraq. And it was many of the same players, same people in the Pentagon, State Department, Black Ops, John Negroponte, people like that, who did this dirty work in places like El Salvador, Guatemala, Chile, Argentina, etc., etc. They brought that same mindset and those same skills and techniques, and they brought them to Iraq and created the civil war between the Sunnis and the Shias by setting these bombs all over the place, turning loose their special police commandos, just wiping people out left, right, and center. And next thing you know, these British soldiers, these American soldiers, etc., etc., they find themselves in the middle of all this. They thought things were winding down. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, Baghdad fell. But the real fireworks were just starting. They started this war off and between the Sunnis and the Shias, and pretty soon there was all these other mysterious armies, these armed insurgent groups that popped up out of nowhere. They would come up with names for them. Often as not, they were under the control of Black Ops. They were being armed, financed, given intelligence by somebody. And these were the groups that, you know, British SAS and other units, Delta Force, Navy SEALs, were being turned loose against. But they were really chasing their own tails. And some of these guys caught on to that. Some of these guys caught on to that. Then they saw the same thing happening in Syria. Aha! Right? And really, these techniques, this modus operandi has been going on for such a long time. The so-called Gikuyu Rebellion in Kenya. There was no rebellion. It was all made up by the British military counterinsurgency so-called experts. They created this insurgency that were non-existent. We see this in so many different countries. All anyone has to do is take the time to study it. So, the long and the short of it is, a lot of these people in the military, they're saying, no more, this is where I get off the bus. And these people that are quitting the military, they're becoming very spiritual, very enlightened. They're getting back to the earth. Many of them are doing things that, like, you know, living in a way that's wholesome, living in a way that's connected to the earth. And this is fantastic. This is fantastic news. And I'm going to be talking to that friend of mine again before too long and find out what else he's heard. But I thought I'd pass that on because, to me, it's just wonderful news. I'm going to talk now about characteristics, physical, psychological, and psychic characteristics of reptilian-Draco hybrids. A friend of mine asked me to discuss them, these characteristics, in this commentary. And I think it's apt because of what I just talked about. I talked about how many people are moving away from the military life. They're moving away from that military force, violence, conquer mindset. And an essential part, essential underpinning of the whole military mindset is the R-complex lizard brain reptilian way of thinking of control, manipulation, deceit, treachery, conquest, etc., etc. So it's a good example of how to draw contrast between what the military looks for and what they try to inculcate in the recruits. In American boot camp, American military boot camp, and then in, as the training progresses after they are finished with boot camp, these young soldiers and these young Marines, they make them scream their heads off. They want them to go on the full rage mode. They make them scream on command because they want them to tap into that inner rage, the lizard brain. This is why you see video and hear stories of the soldiers that fight in armored vehicles and in tanks. They play death metal music. They just want to, in an OCD type fashion, have all these thoughts and feelings of rage and anger and violence and the desire to kill bouncing around their head like an echo chamber, and it's reinforced by that music, death metal music, etc. And why they make these young soldiers and Marines scream their head off, because they want to tap into that inner rage. We see this even in some of the so-called elite units, right? The British Parachute Regiment, they have young paras don boxing gloves, and they have 3 minutes to beat the crap out of each other. And they better go for it. They better not just play patty cake with each other. They better bloody each other's faces and punch the hell out of each other. Something like a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, I can't remember, but they just have them just bash each other with a crowd of paras around them being urged on by their NCOs. They want them to tap into that lizard brain, that inner rage. So this energetic shift comes along. A lot of the people in the military forces, they get shifted into a higher consciousness and they say, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to be tapping into my inner rage lizard brain anymore. BTDT, been there, done that. So they're ready to move on. It's a good time to segue into the reptilian human hybrid characteristics. Some of you heard me talk about this before, but it bears repeating. So those of you that are familiar with this, just bear with me. When you hear people say serial killers, they can look just like anybody. They look like the guy next door. They can look like anybody. That's bollocks. Pardon my Anunnaki. They don't look like just anybody. Ted Bundy didn't just look like anybody. Jeffrey Dahmer didn't just look like anybody. All these evil serial killers didn't just look like anybody. Hooded eyelids. Prominent cheekbones, extra, seemingly extra tendons on their arms, flaky, almost scale-like skin. And there's an energetic component to it as well. These people give off, just like some people with poor hygienic habits, they have BO, body odor. Well, from an energetic standpoint, these raging reptilian or Draco human hybrids that manifest manipulative, deceptive, corruptive, violent tendencies, they exhibit an odor, an energetic odor. And it's important for us to be able to recognize that odor when it is in our energetic field. And when our bodies are within that energetic field of theirs, it's like two lines of defense at least. You've got your energetic / auric field, shields, and then you got your physical body. And if you have an early warning energetic system and it's pushed far enough out, you can tune into energetic discordances, if you will, from, you know, a pretty fair distance. Combat soldiers, those who've experienced, gone through a lot of combat, they begin to develop a sixth sense and can feel things from a distance. Well, we must do the same thing energy-wise. And as a last-ditch resort, we must listen to what our bodies tell us. If for whatever reason our energy field doesn't pick up these discordances emanating from these reptilian Draco-human hybrids that's in the next room, a couple of rooms over, whatever the case may be, or right in front of you, then at least your body should be able to pick up these discordances. So there are physical characteristics of these reptilian human hybrid perps, manipulators, deceivers, of all stripes, psychologically abusive, physically abusive, deceptive, cunning. What they imbue in spy school, for example, spying is essentially all about betrayal. You earn the trust of people, institutions, and then you betray that trust. That's what that's all about. And so they teach them to be cunning and deceptive. And when you come across some of these hosty rep human hybrids, Draco hybrids, or they may have like a mantis or greys working through them, but they're still deceptive because there's a seemingly human face there in front of you, but the consciousness going through them is anything but. And many of them talk a good game. They pay lip service to all the new agey things and holistic naturopathy and healing things and wanting freedom and all that, but some of these people are so deceptive. Some of the most crooked, deceptive, treacherous people I've ever met were in the so-called truth community, were anti-New World Order types, were fake light workers, people who were kleptomaniacs that would steal from you the moment you turn your back on them. And these are the same people who present themselves as being anti-New World Order, anti-Illuminati, right? And they're kleptomaniacs, they're pathological liars, they're sociopaths, they're narcissists. And they're sprinkled throughout the alternative news field, the truth movement, the UFO field. They're all over the place. So those of you that are in this field, whether it be UFO research, alien abduction research, more surface level, New World Order type information research, just be prepared and recognize that some of the biggest perps, liars, cheats that you'll ever meet are in the field, posing as people who are against corruption, posing against people that are against the New World Order, against the reptilian overlordship, against treachery, and they're working for the light. They're working for the light, go to the light, go to the light. And you will meet these people all over the place. They talk a good game. If they cannot look at the negativity, and if they cannot look at in an adult, mature fashion at what's really going on in this world outwardly, and then if they cannot look inward and come to terms and work with and heal their inner shadow, just be wary of them. Because if they don't lie to you, if they don't cheat, if they don't do something like that, they'll let you down in some other way because they just don't have the strength of character, really. There's so many people out there, especially in the metaphysical field. Oh, you're talking about negative things. I don't want that in my energy field. Could you imagine the kind of readings these people give? where it's always about love and light. It's always about feel good stuff. In my last commentary, I talked about how, or the one before it, I can't remember, about how some of the most common forms of disinfo out there is of the feel good variety. Oh, Trump did this, you know, he's ordered the arrest of the Rothschilds, and oh, you know, the International Criminal Court in The Hague, they've issued warrants out for the Queen and for George Soros, and that's all just feel-good stuff. What was that guy's name? Kevin Arnett, I can't remember, but he was always blowing smoke about hunting down these high-level pedophiles and high-level Satanists, and when I read that stuff, I just rolled my eyes, right? I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. That's feel-good stuff. Essentially, no different than those fake light workers that only want to talk about positive things. And by saying that, I don't mean dwelling on the negative either, right? If you were a fly on the wall and you were around me and some of my friends who know about this stuff, you would be surprised, some of you, at just how upbeat we are, how uplifting we are, how much we laugh. Barbara Bartholet called herself the Lucy Ricardo of alien abduction researchers. When Candy Turner was on her deathbed, she put out a message for Ted Rice and Barbie Bartholet to come to her. Because, as Candy said, because I want to laugh with you one more time, right? Words to that effect. So Barbie and Ted Rice showed up, and they all had a good laugh with Candy shortly before she passed away. Because Barbie was one of the funniest people you'd ever meet. Completely bass-ackwards opposite from the stories you hear from all of her detractors, all the wannabe UFO alien abduction researchers, all of the fake light workers who always characterize Barbie as being negative. Quite the opposite when you got to know her. She was one of the funniest, uplifting, lighthearted people you'd ever meet. There were times we would have a two-hour discussion on the phone and words like abductions and UFOs never even came up because we were talking about things and talking about issues that far superseded simple alien abductions and whatnot. We were, you know, our minds and our spirits were geared up towards talking about things at a certain level, a certain strategic level. So that's important. Those people that refuse to see negativity, they haven't worked out their own inner shadow. They haven't worked out whatever inner trauma they have. And they can be friends. You can be friends with them. But don't be disappointed when they let you down in some way, right? Because if they're not willing to look inward, if they're not willing to look the harsh reality of life around them, look inward at their own inner shadow, then they simply don't have the mental toughness and the spiritual awareness to overcome all the forms of deception, deceit, and manipulation that will be hurled at them. Because the way the dark side works, the way the archontic forces work, if someone even has the potential to do good, it even has the potential to help to dismantle this matrix simulation system. And it doesn't matter if that individual is borderline New Age la-di-da. Those archontic forces will hurl all kinds of abuse at that person. They will do everything they can to disrupt that person's life, turn their life upside down, make them ill, harm the people in and around them. Because these people, they're like minnows in a shark-infested swimming pool. They're like minor leaguers up against big leaguers. And they have no idea of the nature of the multiple threat environment in which they reside. And so they go to these UFO conferences, they go to these metaphysical workshops, they go to these whole life expos, and they meet these reptilian Draco human hybrids with the droopy hooded eyelids emitting all this negative reptilian Draco energy. Silver tongue, talking a good game about love and light and about doing workshops and body work and want to help people. And, oh, you've got, you know, such good energy. I want to work with you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They don't recognize the nature of the environment they're in. And so often it's not all the time, but in many cases, you will come across these people with this kind of Pollyanna mindset in this field, and their lives are just in turmoil. What's going on in their lives is completely incongruent with all the New Age metaphysical platitudes and pablum bursting forth from their lips. It's completely contradictory. It's incongruent. They're not walking the walk. They're talk, not walk. And those people can lead you down the primrose path too. You will meet people in this field, some of these fake light workers, New Age la-di-das, they can turn your life upside down. Because they've got blinders on, they've got entity attachments, they've got cords and etheric implants, physical implants, and because all that is quote-unquote negative, they don't want to know about it. Consciously, they don't even want to think about it because the entities working through them will make them feel too much internal pain, will make them feel too much internal anguish. They know better. Kind of like when an animal, like a dog, is abused by the owner, right? By these sadistic reptile hybrid owners. And the moment the dog looks at the owner or the owner makes a sudden movement, the dog pisses on itself, right? In a way, these people that refuse to look at the negative, and you hear them say things like this, oh yeah, I've had experiences with reps and experiences with grays, and you know, I was taken to an underground base. Oh, that's so negative. I don't want to hear about that. I want to keep my energy field clean, right? Some of these people are so manipulated. It's questionable whether they have any real human consciousness working through them. They have some, but these fake light workers, no way. And I've been around a bunch of them lately. What passes for human consciousness is anything but. So there's a very practical aspect to me talking about reptilian Draco human hybrids and what they look like. Eyes sunk deep in the eye sockets, hooded eyelids, sometimes face comes down, angular point to the chin, extra tendons, like I mentioned, seemingly long tendons, like from the wrist practically all the way up to the top of the shoulders. You'll see things like that. And some of them have extra vertebrae. Some of them have major organs in all kinds of wacky places, totally in different places that don't even make sense. I mean, from a normal anatomical standpoint. Now, there are many good people out there, good hybrids, people that are really trying to do good, really want to dismantle this matrix simulation system. And they have extra vertebrae. They have their major organs and off-the-wall wacky places out of the norm. But they're still very good people. And they're very familiar with the nature of this multiple threat environment. They're not looking through rose-colored glasses. I'm not talking about them. I'm not saying that anyone that has an extra vertebrae or anyone who has their major organs and off-the-wall wacky places is of necessity a reptilian Draco hybrid. I'm not saying that, but some are. And then you have to deal with or recognize their psychic abilities, their ability to put out such an energy field that it can leave people around them in a confused, kind of addled and confused, agitated state. And when someone is in a state of confusion and inner turmoil and anxiety, it's easier to manipulate them. It's easier to mess with them. It's easier to con them. So let's keep all that in mind. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get across to those who may want to become something of an activist in this field, but not even necessarily people who want to be an activist in this field, but because in society there are so many of these Rep Draco human hybrids, these hosted hybrids with entities working through them. You'll find them in the workplace. You'll find them in your local pub. You'll find them all over the place. You'll find them in your classroom settings. Bullying, even at childhood levels, is at an all-time high. These types are everywhere. We have to be aware of them, what makes them tick. Sometimes your energy field is so foul, you feel a pressure on your heart center, and you feel a pressure in your solar plexus. Listen to what your body tells you. And don't feel so shame-based that, oh, I shouldn't feel that way about that person. You know, that's mean of me. I'm being a meanie. I'm being a blue meanie like in the Beatles' Yellow Submarine movie. No, get out of that mindset. Listen to what your body tells you. Listen to what your energy field tells you about someone. And trust it. Oftentimes, the first instinct is usually the first intuitive instinct, the first energetic imprint that an individual, place, or thing leaves upon you, is the correct one. And when I detect that negative energy coming out of someone, I don't care what's coming out of their mouth. If they're telling me there's some kind of Palladian hybrid walk-in and they're here to, you know, do all this great work. You know what's interesting about the Palladians, too? When you listen to Barbara Marciniak's, her presentations, she's an ass-kicker. She's pretty hardcore. And if one pays attention to, you know, the lore of the Palladians, they're here to undo a lot of karma because they've been, at times, a somewhat warlike race. They were spiritual warriors. They were combatants in this physical cosmos as well as in other dimensions. They were warriors. I mean, listen to Barbara Marciniak. She doesn't suffer fools gladly. And then you come across all these starry-eyed New Agers that try to pass themselves off as being Palladian or part Palladian, and maybe there's something to that. Maybe someone does have Palladian ancestry at some level, to some degree. But when they start mouthing off about how they don't want to hear anything negative, well, which Palladian group are they from? Because the one, for example, that Barbara Marciniak is from, they were a race of warriors. And they just didn't sit around talking about metaphysical platitudes and, you know, spewing out all this metaphysical pablum. So people need to be aware and truly understand the nature of the multiple threat environment they're in. Other things and other ways that these hybrids can do you harm, psychically, I mentioned how they can emit such a strong energetic field that leaves you in a state of confusion where you lose your will, you lose your volition, you become highly suggestible. And they can do other things. Some of these males, they can manipulate a woman's kundalini, manipulate her sexual chi, engender a state of sexual arousal within a woman from across the table, across the room, from the other side of the world through the internet. They can astrally appear to people. They can remote view. And because they have entities working through them, and because they have that R-complex lizard brain thing going, and they have their egos activated, they will intentionally do these things for malign purposes. And beware of these types, because they always want to do readings on you. Oh, do I have your permission to look into your energy field and to do a reading on you and tune in on you? No. No, you don't. Thanks, but no thanks. I'll go off on my own merry way. Thank you very much. They always want to get into your kitchen, these types. And you have to be wary of that. Recognize the nature of the multiple threat environment you're in. To complete that thought earlier, some of these people that are borderline New Age la-di-das, the archontic forces will heap a lot of abuse upon them for years and years and years because somewhere within their morphic resonance blueprint, somewhere within their oversoul, somewhere within their soul group family, There are connections, there are capabilities, there is wisdom that poses a clear and present danger to the Archons and this Archontic Matrix simulation system. So even if that person has only, say, a 20% chance of becoming an ass-kicker, like a Candy Turner or somebody, that's 20% too much for these negative forces. They will strive. If they can't openly turn that person into like a fake light worker or an outright manipulator, deceiver, con artist, manipulator, or worse, then they will just so disrupt that person's life that they cannot be any kind of threat to them. They will disrupt their life big time. So just keep that in mind. So I've talked about some of the physical characteristics, some of the psychic characteristics. Also, and I've talked about this briefly last week, about the ritualism aspect and the R-complex lizard brain thing. Some of them definitely have a penchant for R-complex ritualism insofar as ceremonial magic is concerned, as insofar as working with intentions, energy work, malign intentions. And remember, when their egos are activated and then the interface takes place with these interdimensional entities fully comfortably taking them up as a host, they will lie, they will justify, they will cheat everything, because you're not dealing anymore with the human consciousness. That's been swept under the rug. You may be looking at someone who appears to be human, but the consciousness coursing through them is anything but, and they will exploit any weakness they see in you. Always remember, they see attributes as such as kindness and forgiveness and compassion. They see those as weaknesses to be exploited. So keep your shields up and be careful about being too glib around these people, telling them things you shouldn't ought to tell them. Just assuming because they say they're against the New World Order, or on the one hand, or on the other, if they're like a fake light worker spewing out all these metaphysical cliches, be careful what you share with these people, because you're sharing it with the entities working through them as well. And some of these people are not only fake light workers who are entity infested and have all kinds of cords and attachments hooked up to them. Some of them are under remote military mind control as well. Military intelligence mind control. Civilian intelligence mind control. Contractor, private contractor mind control. So everything you say to them is not only going to whatever entities are working through them, also that information is going straight to these deep black techno spooks that have all kinds of operational assets all over the place. Operatives in the field, programmers, mind controllers. These are booby-trapped, infested arenas that we're talking about. Shark-infested waters. Make no mistake about it. People are finding out all the time, and there's a separation that's taking place. And again, it relates back to the first part of this talk about how so many people are quitting the military, and the military is having a harder time replacing the ones who are retiring and resigning, and they're having a harder time finding recruits. Because of this shift in consciousness, people are growing beyond that, beyond the military conquest mindset, and they want to get away from that. On the one hand, that's going on. On the other, all these densified, entity-infested, cord-attached people, hosty people, they're flying off the handle in seven different directions. Like I said, the lizard is swarming. And we'll start to see this separation more and more. People that you thought were stable and dependable and accountable and basically semi-normal, somewhat normal, they're just going off the deep end now because they're not handling this energetic shift. Because they've never been taught how. They don't trust themselves. They don't trust their own intuition. They're too shame-based to trust their own intuition. They're people pleasers, even if they get a really bad feeling about someone because they're stuck in people-pleasing mode through all this unresolved trauma, shame-based upbringing. They just let people walk all over them. They become a doormat, people-pleaser. Always trust yourself. That's key. Always believe in yourself. Trust what your instincts tell you. And you will go on to make a huge difference in this wonderful thing we call life. And I know every one of you out there has the potential to do amazing things. Some of you in your own spheres of influence are already doing amazing, wondrous things. And those of you that are going through challenges right now, hang in there, right? This is just something you've got to overcome. It'll make you stronger and you'll learn from it. And you don't back down from a challenge anyway. I hope that what I've shared with you today has been of some service. I am heartened by the fact that many people are leaving the military. I am heartened by the fact that we're starting to see a separation from, on the one hand, the people that are aware and had a shift in consciousness and are no longer into that old paradigm of conquest, control, and fear. And on the other hand, I also think it's a benefit to us that these people are borderline hosty people are starting to freak out and they're revealing their true colors. And some of the people you thought were dependable, accountable, had integrity, now you're finding out right now that maybe they don't. And you invested all this emotional energy and pour all this love and compassion into some people and they just spit it back in your face. Don't take it personally. Those people are just ensnared in this matrix web. Just be thankful that it's not you. Be thankful that you're going through these challenges. You recognize this multiple threat environment for what it is, and you're making adjustments, and you're moving on. So anyhow, we've come to the end of this week's edition of Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Wherever you may be, dear listeners, daytime or nighttime, have a very pleasant time.